Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Bristol Airport has blamed a cyber attack for causing flight delay screens to fail for 2 days. It could soon prove expensive for media makers to chase online pirates in Canada. The country's Supreme Court has unanimously ruled that internet providers are entitled to reasonable compensation when asked to link pirates' IP addresses to customer details. A few lines of CSS is all it takes to bring Apple devices to their knees. And the father of Linux, Linus Torvalds, would like to apologize for years of being a jerk and is taking time off to learn empathy. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Well, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Bristol Airport has blamed a cyber attack for causing flight display screens to fail for 2 days. An airport spokesman said that the information screens were taken offline early on Friday in order to contain an attack similar to so-called ransomware. The spokesman said no ransom had been paid to get the systems working again. Ransomware is a form of malware which computer viruses threaten to delete files unless a ransom is paid. Spokesman James Gore said, "We believe there was an online attempt to target part of our administrative systems and required us to take a number of applications offline as a precautionary measure, including the one that provides our data for flight information screens. That was done to contain the problem and to avoid any further impact on more critical systems." Mr. Gore said that flights were unaffected, but contingency measures and manual processes, including whiteboards and marker pens, had to be used in place of display screens. At no point were any safety or security systems impacted or put at risk. He said that it had taken longer than people might have expected to rectify due to a cautious approach. "Given the number of safety and security critical systems operating at an airport, we wanted to make sure that the issue with the flight information application that experienced the problem was absolutely resolved before it was put back online. No flights are understood to have been disrupted as a result."
Yeah, but that's the world we live in, right?
That's right. And to be honest with you, like, I'm not super surprised that something like this might happen. My question is, I guess, more about, like, it happens here as well in like our towns and stuff. Is what they did enough? Like, if you notice it, is, and you just shut down one part, is that enough?
Well, it didn't really go into details as to how the infiltration was taking place. And to say that, okay, we're shutting down systems to stop it from spreading, I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way ransomware infects networks is it looks for other systems on the network,
right,
finds the files that are shared on those systems, and encrypts them,
right,
and then holds them ransom.
Right.
It's usually not a targeted attack, though. It's something that just comes in through somebody opened a bad email or a website address that didn't have proper protection. Or, here's a scary scenario for you, Sasha. Somebody had remote desktop or something installed on their computer and active so that they can access their computer from home.
Right.
So they can work from home. And those protocols, RDP, for example, remote desktop protocol, you can't tell when someone's brute forcing your login.
Okay.
So they find, so these scripts, bots, if you will, they find computers on the web that are open to remote desktop, as the example. And once they find that computer, it starts guessing at the password. And it keeps going until it gets in. And once it gets in, it then infiltrates the network.
and then just goes from there.
It can spread, yeah, yeah. So how it got in, I'm not really clear on this one.
Right.
But it could have been somebody opening a bad email, a file that was ransomware that could spread. In the news, they're calling it a virus, so it makes me think maybe it is a bit of a Trojan horse or something like that, something right. that somebody opened, and it, you know, here's your invoice. Open the invoice.
It's what? Scary. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's scary just to think that it's the airport. So airport security is paramount. And mm-hmm. here's a computer system. I mean, mind you, it's just the flight information, but that's a system inside the airport. So now they can get in there. They could have gone anywhere. So I understand.
At the end of the day, it's flight information, arrival times and departures, which would be linked with air traffic control mm-hmm. within the airport, you'd think, because it's monitoring the signals from the planes. Mm-hmm. What I love about the story is that they go beyond the talking about the, you know, the issue to say, but we use whiteboards and dry erase markers.
You've been there, done that?
It reminds me of my recent work experience where my computer shut down and I used my boogie board. And as patients were coming in, I was signing them in so that I knew the order of arrival and I could tell them where to go. That's exactly what happened. Are you sure that this was ransomware or was it just a Windows update?
Maybe. That's all it was. We need to shut this thing down before Microsoft updates all our computers and destroys our network.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
It could soon prove expensive for media makers to chase online pirates in Canada. The country's Supreme Court has unanimously ruled that internet providers are entitled to reasonable compensation when asked to link pirates' IP addresses to customer details. Voltage Pictures, the production firm behind the Hurt Locker, intended to sue roughly 55,000 customers of telecom giant Rogers for allegedly bootlegging movies, but balked when Rogers wanted to charge $100 per hour to comply with the requests for information. Rogers won the initial federal court case, but had to defend itself at the Supreme Court when Voltage appealed the case. Voltage had insisted that these kinds of fees would make it too costly to pursue pirates.
Good.
Justice Russell Brown rejected this notion, however, and suggested that media producers could wind up imposing stiff costs on ISPs. He noted that the costs may well be small right now, but that it would be wrong to assume that they would always be inconsequential. Not surprisingly, Rogers characterized the decision as a victory for customers, claiming that millions of people faced open season on their personal data if ISPs had to provide info no matter what the cost. This doesn't mean that Canadian ISPs could ask for blank checks. Brown indicated that Rogers should go back to a lower court to prove its costs. Even so, it adds a barrier to Hollywood studios and music labels expecting to track down pirates. They can't just assume ISPs will work pro bono on their behalf.
Come on.
I love this. Mm. In no way am I saying, you know, go pirates, but I...
That's not it at all.
No, I love that it's not just a steamroll process.
Right.
Like, yeah, and oddly enough with Voltage Pictures, this is the second time that they've come into a high-profile case over the Hurt Locker. The first time was years ago when they took on Tech Savvy because they wanted to get access to who the people were that were downloading it. But Tech Savvy took them to court, and I don't remember all the details, but basically Tech Savvy won to a certain degree to say, you can't just have our data.
Right.
And now they've... So Voltage Pictures has continued their onslaught over the Hurt Locker. Who even watches the Hurt Locker anymore? Like, this is an issue that's like, the movie's what, 8 years old, 10 years old? Like, who cares now?
I've never even heard
of it.
I've
never seen it ever.
I think it was a war movie.
I'm not a pirate.
But you know, now it's like, hey, we want all your people. No, you got to pay for it. And quite frankly, I think they should.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the foo in our chat room says exactly what comes to mind, is that $100 an hour? I mean, consider this as well, the foo. This is Canadian dollars. Rogers is a Canadian company. $100 an hour is cheap.
That's true.
I charge $150.
Yeah.
I mean,
so I'm just saying.
I assume that there's information all over the place. Like, I'm assuming that you're tracked all along the way. So are they just looking for a legal way to get the information from people?
They're trying to get it. Like as if it's public record. Like, as if Rogers is obliged to provide this information because it's illegal what these people are doing. So you must give us this information. Well, then pay.
Yeah,
and Rogers is a huge company, so there's two sides of this where it's like, I don't want to sound like I'm defending Rogers, because that's not the case. What the case is that nobody should make that assumption that they could just go and assume that, well, yeah, I can just get this information, no
that's,
charge.
That's yeah. not right.
Because the customer is breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rogers has every right to charge twice what they're asking.
I totally agree.
Yeah, they're being...
Every right.
They're being really reserved in this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and not only that, depending on what the data is that's been requested, I mean, we're talking 55,000 clients, I think it said mm-hmm. in the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rogers would have to make sure that the information they're sharing in no way goes beyond what's been requested. And so that means going through the 55,000 files
oh my gosh.
To say, you know, we want to make sure that we're not just, you know, maybe it's the addresses and the names. We're not giving you billing information. We're not giving you credit information. Like, so, I mean, that's going to take a lot of time.
Right.
Oh, they need to be careful yeah. because if Rogers screwed up, you know that anybody who gets sued is going to go after Rogers to say, you gave information that you shouldn't have. It impacted the case, blah, blah, blah. But it's a Hurt Locker, for crying out loud.
I don't care what it is. It has to do with, like, companies' rights.
It's the fact true. That it's that you, one movie they're still pushing. It's like there's other movies that people are pirating.
Okay, so speaking of other movies, I went to the Toronto International Film Festival for the first time ever, and I was sitting in the... It was incredible, I'll tell you. But I was sitting in the audience, and all of these warnings come up about, you know, don't bring your... recording devices and everything.
No bootlegging.
Yeah. But what's great about it is all of these warnings come up and then everybody goes, "Arr!" in the whole It was the best ever. So
bunch
thank
of
you,
pirates
Audie.
They are.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Wow.
That's funny.
So, I mean, it's pirating is wrong. It's
sure.
It is stealing. But
so many facets to the story,
giving
though.
Yeah. information for free to somebody who just requests it is more wrong. So.
Yeah. I love it.
That's it. A few lines of CSS is all it takes to bring Apple devices to their knees. Apple iPhones, iPads, and Mac computers that stray onto websites with malicious CSS code while using Safari can crash or fall overdue to a flaw in the web browser. The WebKit rendering engine vulnerability can be triggered by just a few lines of code in a CSS file. On iOS devices, at least, it all starts to go wrong when the browser tries to parse a processor-intensive CSS feature called backdrop filter on nested page elements. The so-called Safari Reaper attack, developed by a Berlin-based security researcher and uploaded to GitHub this week, effectively crashes iOS devices from iPads to iPhones running iOS 7 to 12 and even Apple smartwatches. The CSS causes the rendering engine to exhaust the system's resources and force the gadgets to reboot to recover. Mac can be similarly frozen by the same exploit, forcing them to restart, so don't try this at home. Other browsers that make use of WebKit are likely also vulnerable. On systems that don't crash, the HTML renders a picture of a triggered Thomas Tank Engine. The same trick crashes tabs on IE and Edge. The researcher came across the vulnerability while researching browser crashing attacks more generally last week.
Hmm. So, it's an Apple story, though.
Is this a story because Apple just does... Like, does Apple crash often? Is this why it's a story?
No. I mean, my wife has a Mac. I know. Nobody yell at me. I don't think it's ever crashed.
Yeah.
But a lot of the world runs on Mac because of all the graphics and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of people use it. So that makes it a newsworthy topic. But I mean, like, I look at that and go, okay, sure, great, wonderful, you crash. You know, there's other issues bigger than this. It's like, eh.
However, so maybe it's not a huge issue, but maybe the simpleness of the capability of an attacker to crash said system. Like, we can inject a CSS code into an existing site. Let's say we work it into a WordPress plugin.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? That is widely distributed. And so then everyone gets their updates on their WordPress blog or website, and now tens of thousands of websites are infected with this undetectable, because it's not malware. It's just a piece of CSS code.
Yeah.
That now everyone with a Mac goes to that site and their computer reboots.
And it's right across the board. Like, it's iDevices and the smartwatches.
Yeah, your phone too.
That's incredible.
That's quite the vulnerability.
That is incredible. Whoops. That for a system that, like, never crashes, that there's something so simple that it's Achilles tendon. Like, it blows my mind. It's ultra small.
Now, here's a conspiracy theory for you.
Okay.
Now that it's Microsoft that owns GitHub, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Put that code in all the CS, in all the programs.
Just find on the every Mac user.
Yeah. Boom! And they're like,
every CSS file.
Windows is like, I got you, Apple.
That's exactly how Microsoft rolls, too.
That's true.
They're like, April Fools.
Or they'll force a system update.
That happens. Go.
Yeah, it just injects it into everything. Yeah, that's bad. Anyways.
The father of Linux, Linus Torvalds, would like to apologize for years of being a jerk and is taking time off to learn empathy. Linux creator Linus Torvalds has apologized for years of rants, swearing, and general hostility directed at other Linux developers, saying that he's going to take a temporary break from his role as maintainer of the open source kernel to learn how to behave better. For many years, Torvalds has been infamous for his expletive-filled aggressive outbursts on the Linux kernel mailing list, chewing out developers who submit patches that he believes aren't up to the standards necessary for the kernel. He's defended this behavior in the face of pushback from other developers, insisting that people being nice to one another was an American ideology. But that may be coming to an end. In a lengthy email posted to the mailing list Sunday night, Torvalds expressed a change of heart, taken to task over attacks that he recognizes were unprofessional and uncalled for. He says now he recognizes that his behavior was not okay and that he's truly sorry. He's going to step back from kernel development for a while, something he's done before while developing the Git source control system, so that he can get help on how to behave differently. At the same time, the Linux project now has a code of conduct. Previously, the project had a code of conflict, a short document that asserts that the code quality is the only thing that matters and implores developers to be excellent to each other. The new code of conduct is more extensive and sets explicit standards for behavior, requiring it to be positive, professional, welcoming, and inclusive. Thank you for listening to me.
What do you mean?
I feel like Linus literally just watched this show someday.
And he just heard you say,
Sasha's right.
Be good to one another.
Exactly. Sasha's right. People should be nice to each other. Uh-huh. It's smart to care. Empathy is something I should build. Compassion is important. This is what happened, and I thank you, Linus. I want to be your friend.
We have such a mentality here of community and caring for one another and supporting one another between our community, the hosts.
Yes.
What's this about? Why are you... He's like, no.
This has legal proceedings written all over.
Do you think so?
It. Yeah, that's 100%. 100%. There's somebody within the company who...
Within the community. Within the development community.
Yes.
You think so?
But I think probably even more so within the company that filed a complaint that became a legal matter.
Okay.
And that's why these kind of statements are issued. That's why on his departure, you see a change in the code of conduct, all the kind of stuff. This says settlement all over it.
Ah.
I see what you're
saying. So I watched the Steve Jobs movie on Netflix, like the last 2 days. I watched a little bit of it each night before I fell asleep. And
it was that good, eh?
Hey, now. It's just,
I got halfway through and I fell asleep. And then I watched it the next night.
A little bit.
All right, yes.
In this movie, and I don't know how true it is, Steve Jobs is a big old jerk too.
Oh, yeah?
Like, really?
Yeah.
Well, this is where I was going, is that I have mad respect for Linus Torvalds.
Yeah.
Like, he is a brilliant man. And he admits his flaws, and he is flawed, and we're all flawed.
Sure.
And backing up, like, we have such a community mindset here, and we care. But I have bad days.
Right.
Right? And I have stressful days, and he is, like, the head of this thing.
Right. When you have that, like, flame of genius in your mind, you really need to protect it. And I really do think, like, he's a genius, and Steve Jobs was a genius, mm-hmm. and you're also a genius.
Oh, come on now.
But I think that sometimes...
I like how that went.
That was nice.
That's our t-shirt for the week, folks.
Sometimes you get so consumed by feeding that, because you know that, like, it becomes your worth, that you forget about how you look to everybody else.
I joked about it before our show tonight about how incredibly particular I am about certain things,
right,
behind the scenes, like just making sure that things work and things are the way they have to be set up the way that they should be.
Right, but it's super respectable. Like, I respect the fact that you have figured it out, you've plotted it out in the future, you know what may go wrong, and you want to check it before it happens, right? So, I'm more like throw caution to the wind. I walk around with reckless abandon. I need people like you.
But when I... So imagine, so if, like, I'm small fries, but Linus, you know, he is that guy for Linux. And so if somebody steps in and offers a commit that is not up to his standard, that is not... in line with the things, and he's admittedly brusque with people and you know, very pointed with people, and he says it's, you know, he's just not a people person. He likes to sit in front of a computer, and that's his comfortable place.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's comfortable, and he doesn't deal nicely with people, and right. He admits that, and so if somebody is offering a commit, he may appreciate the commit, but if he has to go back and recode it to make it work the way that he wants it to look and work and function, and
he
expects people to instead follow that code of conflict, if you will, the here's how the code should be.
Mm-hmm.
Do it that way. That's how we've laid it out. I want you to, when you submit it, I want it to be that way. So I understand, I admire, and I respect his position.
Right. As a delicately emotioned person, right? I need very... maybe I'm a millennial. I don't know. Like, I need...
No, you're
I need
not.
A
you
lot,
don't fit within the group. Sorry.
I just need a lot of positive reinforcement if I put effort into something.
Sure.
So, okay. Say I go ahead and I send him a kernel. I don't know what I do, but I...
send him a kernel. Here you go, okay. Linus.
Oh, right? And it's kernel. Not great... I don't want to be told I'm a bad person, right? It's a bad thing.
No, absolutely.
Right?
But again, he knows his flaws. We know his flaws as his community.
Right.
And it takes people skills and a willingness to be that people person to, like, I as a father, for example. And I do my best to encourage my children. And you've been through it as well. Like, sometimes sometimes the kids won't do things the way that I want them to do it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, the first time is always a disaster. But I don't want to blast them for doing it wrong. No, I want to encourage you to be better and to learn.
You have to.
But that's part of me as a father.
You have to give them feedback sandwiches. I learned this in therapy. Where you positive thing, then the constructive criticism, and then another positive thing.
Here's what we need to do to improve. But that's not him.
Right.
And he's not our father. He doesn't love me. He doesn't love his community the way that I love my children. And so don't expect that of him. So, but I think you may be right.
I think I'm 100% right.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
That's the world I work in.
I think he watched this show and he was like, Sasha's got it. People should be nice to each other. It should start with me. Let's grow my empathy.
Lawsuit.
I'll go with Sasha. I like it.
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
And I'm Robbie Ferguson.
And I'm Jeff Weston.
It has been a pleasure having you here with us this week. You see how I did that? It was so nice. It was so friendly.
You've done good.
Yeah, you know, and that's how we can do it around here. That's so right. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of this community. We appreciate you.
Here we go.
Don't forget to visit our website, category5.tv. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like this video and also subscribe. Hit the bell, and you'll get the notifications every time we bring out a new video or when we are live. How cool is that? Check us out there. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Good night.